Hello and welcome to another episode of the PatriotCast, your favorite podcast here. Today, me, Javier, and I've got with me always our super host, Andrew Blythe. Andrew, how are you?
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, who am I kidding? Gentlemen, how are you doing? Everyone listening around the world, all the listenership, small but courageous and loyal, as always.
Total type.
Yeah, very much so. It's good to be back as always. This is going to be a very special episode of the Patriot Cast. There's going to be some very, very big change. I'll leave it at that. We're gonna you know, do the show as always, as you know, just talk about games and topics and all that kind of stuff. And then at the very end, we're gonna reveal some really big news. So stay tuned in for that. So back to you, Javier.
Yeah, hope and change. And with that segue, we're going to Jordan Wyatt in the bottom of the world, New Zealand.
A country that actually has hope and change, like other countries that don't. Yeah, it's great to be here.
Sorry. I'm chugging my orange.
And we also have Mr. Toby Edwards. Welcome, Toby.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm just getting a little bit tipsy here, so it's good. I'm excited
tipsy.
For the show.
That sounds
yes,
good.
Absolutely. I've always have a nice bottle of wine to come here at the Patriots.
Oh my God,
Patriot Cast.
Too bad. I usually just wake up and start doing the show.
Nothing wrong with drinking when you get up.
Still drink.
Yeah, nothing wrong with
Should have a beer next to my bed when I wake up.
I love that. Sorry. I love that difference, Toby. It's 10:18 at night in England, where both me, Toby, you're in England right now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So both me and Toby are in England right now, and it's 10:18, nearly 10:19, I guess. Toby's drinking a bottle of wine while I'm eating an orange. I'm living it up, I tell you. You want to see where I'm at, you know? Sorry, go on.
No, it's pretty funny. Just to tell you guys, like, just a little anecdote. When I went to meet up with Toby here in LA, his room had like 20 bottles of beer, like empty all over the place. He had some.
Yeah, the crack pipe.
But anyways,
I was living in LA. What can I say?
Yeah, the suite they gave you is got to your head. So today we have, I guess maybe a mini episode. We'll see, because we have a few topics, but we'll see where all this take us. Sometimes Jordan gets a little winded, and we have to take it time.
I'm broken again. Sometimes. That's a good one. You're good.
We have certain topics like what's this Windows 8 topic? Because I didn't really know.
We'll leave it to Jordan. I'm sure you'll be able to.
I guess we'll leave it to Jordan. Yeah.
Sounds like a good segue. It is.
It's an excellent segue. You shut up.
What the hell is this? well, Javier. Yeah. Windows 8 is Microsoft's attempt to catch up to Apple. And, you know, loyal PatriotCast listeners like, that's the Jordan we know and love.
Disclaimer.
My opinion speaks for everyone on the show. Windows 8, they're trying to make it touch-based. It's going to have some kind of, like, crappy HTML touch interface over the top of the thing. And it has tiles and updates. It's basically like that crappy Windows phone, which is trying to keep up with Android and iOS. And it's meant to be the new big thing. This is what Windows is going to be like. It's going to be all touch-based, and it's meant to be sexy and exciting. And they've given out an extreme beta version of a tablet made by Samsung. And I'd just like to talk about this tablet review, because this is what the developers are getting. Now, this isn't production ready.
Can you credit the article? Just, you know.
Sure thing. It's on This Is My Next. They talk about it on their last podcast, which was very good, and I recommend it. ThisIsMyNext.com, and it's the latest episode of the podcast, and we can put a link in the show notes for the listeners.
Yeah. Or not, because, you know, they're going to steal our listeners. But, yeah, we can do that. Sorry, go on.
Sure. It doesn't cost anything, so we can do it. they mention this tablet, and they start off the show by talking about it. They got this tablet. It's a full PC. It's running a tablet operating system. It has some kind of touch crap on the top. It's thick as hell. And they start off by saying, the fan is loud, and they get pretty hot on the back. And I'm like, and this thing's a tablet? No, well, yes, this one.
Yeah,
it's like a tablet that heats up, a tablet that has a fan, and they also mentioned they had it on sleep, you know, like if you got like an iPhone or iPod or Android phone or whatever, you know, in sleep mode, it's just sitting with the screen off, basically, but it's still on. They said even then the fan was still running, and that's just because it was still too hot, you know, from being used. So the fan had to run for like an hour or whatever to cool the damn thing down after you used it. It's like, you know, what the hell is wrong with these people? I know it's a beta. I mean, this isn't ready, but I'm sure no iPad, you know, in development needed some kind of giant cooling fans and got really hot. You know, it starts overheating. It's just, it's a tablet, you know. The whole point is it doesn't make any noise or heat. It's crazy.
Sorry. I can see Apple's next marketing campaign there. They just Photoshop an iPad into the palms of Mr. Freeze from Batman and Robin. It's just ice cold, you know, compared to the other Windows.
But yeah. This, Windows 8 is not just a tablet. I mean, it's an entire operating system that is also
like
handily designed for a tablet. I mean, you know, it's multitask, of course, as well, which iOS isn't. But
it is, you idiot.
No, it's not. I'm not, it's not the biggest thing in my week by a long shot, but it does look quite nice because a lot of these. The inner settings, like, you know, what's it called? The Explorer and a Task Manager and everything like that. Some of these sort of more in-depth sort of technical features have been, like, revamped to have a lot better, you know, UI and everything. It looks like they're doing some good stuff and performance increases. And I'm actually surprised how, you know, the whole look of the home screen with the kind of rectangles in different colours, looks actually quite appealing, which is quite saying something for Microsoft. So, yeah, I think it's got a good thing going. It's stepping in the right direction.
So this is just like sort of like a beta. It's not like really the finished product, right?
No.
It's a year off, apparently, or less than a year off.
And it's going to be just a tablet?
No. It's a whole new operating system that comes after Windows 7.
This is Windows, you know.
But it also works on their tablets that Jordan likes to complain about.
But I don't understand why. Why is Jordan complaining about the product that is not even being reviewed?
Because he's looking for something to complain about.
I know. I don't understand. That's why I was confused.
Yeah
Jordan, can you explain it? What are you?
The problem is.
Are you complaining about the iOS or the tablet?
I'm complaining about both, and specifically that this company, which is vastly behind.
That link in the chat is actually about Windows 8.
From Gorka. It's vastly behind. They're desperately trying to catch up. They're getting their ass handed to them, and then they give this thing out to developers, knowing it's going to be reviewed, it's going to be photoed, hands-on. I mean... The fan is loud. That's how they start off the show on This Is My Next. And it gets pretty hot, and you can't sleep with this thing if it's plugged in at all. You have to, like, make sure it's turned off, even though it should be able to stand on standby mode, you know? I mean, even my iMac, when, like, if I dim the screen, it's running full blast. I mean, it doesn't make a bloody whisper, really. I mean, yes, it's louder than an iPhone or a tablet would be, because it has an actual fan in it, you know? But this thing, it keeps them up at night, you know? It gets hot as hell. It has a fan. It's a developer's thing, true. The thing is, should they have released something this crappy to developers? Like, this is the standard. This is what you're designing for.
So are you saying that the fan is so loud that they're going to keep people up in the middle of the night?
Like, I'm sure they'll make it better.
It's going to be an airplane fan right next to the bed.
An Xbox 360.
It's going to be stuck to the wall because of all the wind that is coming out. I mean, I think that it's a little bit exaggerated. You know, like, it's like,
and
it's
only
so,
the tablet.
So it's not even finished. It's just, you know, it's just sort of a small product that is trying to compete and you know, it's
small.
Already
it's Windows.
Being made, well, it's Windows. I mean it's the product, you know.
But this is Windows
it's
giving this out. You know, this is like BMW giving out a 7 Series
or
an M3.
This is a very much
Windows.
Like in alpha, you know, early version of their tablet. It's not, you know, a comment on the whole Windows 8 as a whole.
Yeah, I'll just put it this way. Would Apple do this, guys? Would they give out developers this awful thing that roars belching fire?
They don't give developers anything.
They did. The iPad was in the hands of developers before the thing came out, and it was bolted to a desk so they couldn't remove it. And it was chained to a desk, and that was physically bolted to the desk. It had like
a
case.
So was the developer, if you remember. It was like Jesus to a cross.
It was bolted
to a desk. Like two massive developers, and that's it. They wouldn't let anyone else get their hands on it.
100? I don't know. Probably as many as the tablets were given out. I've seen pictures of the thing afterwards, but even they had an Apple PR executive go to the damn thing to make sure it was still there, and they also tracked it through GPS as it's bolted to a desk that they gave them, because they didn't want this thing going anywhere. They didn't let any pictures be taken of it or be released at all, and they just kept it on lockdown.
And so you're criticizing a company that is open about their product? And then
a fan that blares out heat loud as hell, you can't sleep with it even on standby.
You can't cry about it. Then for all you know, the iPad could have been this awful before it came out. You know, 6-7 months before it came out.
A year away. We saw what it was like before it came out, and it didn't have no fan. I can leave it at that.
Does anybody else want to put with Jordan Scrub?
Yeah, I've been speak like 6 times in the chat already, guys.
Just
right.
Go ahead.
First of all, I think Jordan should have had a musical intro to this. If we could have gotten one, it could have been "Out of Touch" by Hall & Oates, one of my favorite songs ever. You know, maybe we'll do like a musical audition. Now, let me get my guitar. So hold on. So I'd be like, sing on, Jordan.
I don't know this song, I have no idea what it is. Keep giving me musical accompaniment, Andrew. I have no idea what this song is.
I'm out of touch.
You're out of touch.
Anyway, yeah, so that was a fabulous.
Buy an iPhone, it's got Modi Touch. Ding, 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 ding. Something like that.
Well, first of all, I'm just looking at the page Toby sent me, and it's just general, like a first look at Windows 8. The way I understand it is, I've seen a couple of visuals. To me, it looks like Windows 8 is kind of what the original Windows was to DOS, where it's a brand new shell for perhaps an already existing fundamental infrastructure. So the first couple of versions of Windows before they went to NT, basically shells for DOS. And DOS was doing the big brain crunching in the background, and Windows was the face, was the visual thing. And this seems to be like this, where they're taking the Windows Phone 7 design, which I found interesting. I haven't used Windows Phone 7, but looking at it and seeing this design, which is very, very similar, I like it. It's always got this kind of modern minimalist style to it, and I think I'll be very interested in using that. So this shell itself, so it's an interesting progression that they're going in. I think it's a very smart progression as well, because if it doesn't work, they can just go back to what Windows 7 is right now, and what's behind Windows 8 seems to be still behind there. But getting back to what Jordan was saying, I'm just thinking of this tablet right now, and Jordan, I think you are just making this a bit too. It's not really a problem.
Storm
because once again,
cup.
It's a development. We look in the tech industry, and this stuff happens all the time. You can't keep on using Apple as an example, because Apple they're different. They don't do things, and yes, they do many things better. But, you know, they're releasing this for developers, and it's going to be bulky. It's going to be big. And the other thing as well is they probably aren't investing the money into creating the hardware, which is going to be slimmer, faster, smaller, less is going to heat up less. What this is they've got, because these are prototypes, they've developed the hardware cheaper and bigger as well, so they don't have to pay that much, they don't have to spend this much money. Once they get into the big production of all of this, they're going to make it more and more compact. So this, the main thing about this, I don't think, is right now the size or the fact that it's for fans or anything. I think it's about the interfaces and developers and the people who work in this industry know that the product is going to experience, you know, a large amount of change. And we can see the amount of change that can happen. For example, if we take the original DS, which came out in 2004, and then the DS Lite, which I believe came out around 18 months later, the difference in that is staggering. And how many months from now will this will this tablet come out? Does anyone know?
6 months, a year. No one seems to know.
Right. Well, if it is a year, you know. Yeah, so I do... yes. Okay.
I just kept hoping you kept talking so I could download that song and put it over there.
It's quite a nice background, but I like it.
You're out of time. It ends like that. Going out of my hair. And da-da-da. I remember it more now. Sorry, I don't remember this.
Can I make you stop? Love it. Yeah, but anyway, yes, those are my thoughts. Anyone else have anything to say on this? While I chew my guitar.
Good work.
Well, I'll just leave that song in the background if you guys want to.
Yeah, someone needs to play Vice City more, I think. So I think we can move on and leave the next topic now, guys.
Yeah.
All right. So what's the next topic here? TechCrunch. Who's got that?
Okay. I'll grab the thing. TechCrunch, which is one of the biggest tech news sites out there, TechCrunch.com, started by one Michael Arrington. It's basically crapped out entirely. And the big deal is that it got bought by AOL, which is a giant, evil, mainstream American business.
Yeah,
it lost all its
America, and the first letter has got to be evil.
Let's say evil. I really don't want to say evil.
America behaves. Sorry.
Compared with
America.
America. Yeah. Dude, what it takes to win a murder day.
I'll see the tab for that on guitar. Keep talking. Sorry, go on. You can tell this is the last bit of this.
Yeah, TechCrunch. It's a big site. It has, what, hundreds of thousands of listeners, millions, tens of millions? I have no idea. I'm from a country of 4 million. It's big.
I've never been on that site. Maybe that's just me being a minority.
To China, have you? But China's got 1.3 billion.
I ain't never been either.
Yeah.
I've never been either.
Yes, you have, Toby.
I've never been to TechCrunch in my life. I've heard of it, but I've never been to it.
And, okay, I'll sum it up. AOL came in, they started saying what the main editors could post, because they have that awful airing. Do you guys even know who Huffington is? This is a great story.
Yeah.
That. She's like the controller of media, let's put it this way. And the main guy left, Michael Arrington, the founder. He said, I'm getting the blink out of here. Lots of staff are leaving with him. It's a giant thing. It's a massive thing. And I just like to cover this as just, one of the main editors posted their resignation. They're saying, I'm getting out of here. And then the new guy, they blamed the new guy for everything. They said that he's just a lackey, a puppet of this awful Huffington lady. She's just Ariana. She's just terrible. And, you know, just to have their dirty laundry aired in public, as you say, it's quite incredible that they have this big, like, little fight on this blog, which has got hundreds of thousands, a million, millions of readers. It's crazy. And it just sort of brings things into circle with our previous topics about evil mainstream American business compared to British. Humble.
What I'm thinking here, guys, is that this is an opportunity for us. We should actually go and take over.
So
just get the show and just move it over there.
Mm. So
he would end up being the Apple blog, though, if he did, with Jordan in charge.
So it would be good times, but it's just crazy to think that this giant site would crap out while everyone's listening, and we didn't get any music.
No, Hold on. I'll do an acoustic rendition. People remember the words quite easy. America. America. Then. Some of that. Yeah, anyway. So if you guys can, you know, sing along, you know the profanity, so it's, yeah.
Freedom is the only way. That's about all you need to know.
Yeah. Terrorist, your game is who? But terrorist, your game is who? Because now you have to answer to America. Anyway.
Drinking vodka at night, eating oranges. He says it's wine, but we know it's vodka.
Nice start. Pino Grigio from Argentina. Sorry. Carry on.
Snob.
I'm the backing band for this evening. So, I'm just trying to find
the house band. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. All right.
You guys are done with this topic? All right. The next one would be the new, this is something I really wanted to get to, the 3DS joystick add-on.
Okay.
Yeah. And we have something on the side here. It says iPad stick and joysticks. So let's talk about that, guys. Anybody has any opinions?
Yeah, shall I just say exactly what it is?
Yeah.
Essentially, Nintendo I brought out a device that clips onto your 3DS that adds both a nub to the right of the 3DS. And two extra buttons on the bottom. So imagine, you have like R1 and R2 on a PlayStation controller. It's got that now, essentially. And it is pretty massive. Like, it's like a massive battery pack. And it requires its own AAA battery. and they've added that. And it's compatible with a number of games. The one that's known right now is Monster Hunter Tri, or Monster Hunter 3G. And it's going to cost about $20, roughly, I think.
That's going to be like
£40, kind of crazy,
right?
Yeah, well, who knows? I mean, they haven't announced price.
Yeah.
Well, it's pretty crazy. I'm not quite sure what they're thinking. I think they might be smoking something up there, I guess.
It's kind of funny because I was just thinking on when people used to criticize the PSP for not having the second analog stick, and I don't know if Nintendo's thinking, well, we don't want to get that, you know, we want to maybe make something that works better, and then they're trying to add that. I don't know really what games, you said only Monster Hunter, maybe some games in the future.
There will be other games compatible, that's the only one announced as such. I mean, I was watching the Tokyo Game Show conference for the 3DS, and it was all in Japanese, but there's some really great logos there. In terms of logos, it was a great presentation. I'm just not sure any of the games announced so far
We all know the massive library that the Nintendo 3DS already has. So,
it's actually growing. I mean, there was at least like maybe 20 titles that are all quite big in Japan. But as I said, I mean, the Western audience is quite different.
Hell, I'm big in Japan.
Japan, so you know who knows where that takes us.
All right, Jordan.
Yeah, I mean, it's just great, and the idea that, oh, maybe it should have a second stick. You know, why didn't they think of that before they released this terrible console? Because that would be doing a good job. I think it's a joke, and it should have had the second joystick from... And by the way, this is a time where my opinion counts for everyone on the show, right, guys? Yeah?
Ish.
Yeah,
that's right. This giant casing that clamps on the whole, over the whole device. I mean, it's bloody nuts. And it just goes to show that Nintendo, like, it's just sort of stalling, it's crapping out, it's ran out of petrol in the giant pickup. I don't know what analogy to go with. It's bad, whatever
it's
it is.
It's out of touch.
But, yeah, it's out of touch.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's out of touch.
And I'm just adding a link to how a superior product would do it. The joystick it. The iPad arcade stick. Dun, dun,
They've done exactly the same thing. That's exactly the
Absolutely
same thing.
Absolutely not adding... the same thing.
Adding a crappy little peripheral, or whatever you call it, to an existing product.
And this came out before the 3DS stick. Oh, yeah! iPad! Yeah, doing what it takes to win the tablet. Whoa. It's a great time. It's a good time.
That looks like the most uncomfortable thing to ever hold. Jordan, can I talk?
Sure.
Okay, cool.
No, you can't.
I think everyone's going to say that Nintendo should have put a second analog stick on their console. They kind of, you know, if anything, they should have learned from Sony's mistakes that two analog sticks in today's gaming industry, I think, are definitely a necessity. And the PSP has suffered greatly from that. The DS didn't suffer greatly from that, because when the DS came out, it was the touchscreen was still new. But this is the second generation. We've already had the touchscreen for about, what, 6-7 years now. So we want the added bonus to it. So it's kind of a bit baffling as to why they didn't put a second analog stick on there. I mean, I think they would have had enough space, probably, as always, it's coming down to cost. But this second attachment, it looks very huge and bulky, but I can't really see any other way of making it, making an attachment, because you need the room. It needs to be streamlined with the rest of the console, because if you just have this as this one small circular knob sticking out, it would be really impossible to play, really. So I think that is the only way they're going to do it. But I think this is going to, the history is going to repeat itself again for Nintendo, and this might be another Wii Motion Plus where Nintendo don't do what they should have done from the get-go in the Wii scenario. It was the true one-to-one Wiimote, the peripheral sensors. So then like a year later, they introduced the Wii Motion Plus, but developers were very reluctant to it, and it just wasn't adapted. Even when they built it into the controller, it wasn't adapted. And I think this is still a bit early. The PS hasn't really been out for that long, but I think what they'll have to do is they'll have to really make it the law. The law of, if you want to develop, you know, you have to have support for that system. And I think the faster they do it, the better off they're going to be. Toby?
Yeah, I think this is another symptom of, the reason the 3DS came out as early as it did is because of shareholders, you know, calling it for it to come out, which is ironic in that doing that caused it to, you know, flop in a certain way. I really think, given a few more months, 3-4 months more, for it to come out, if it came out in the holiday period, you know, in November or something like that, I think things would have been entirely different. I think it, you know, possibly could have come out with an extra nub, you know, because they just didn't have the game catalog ready, and none of them, you know, were calling for two nubs. And I think that, you know, that's really played a large part in its failure, I guess. Yeah,
But I don't know. Do you think this is doomed? Do you think the Vita is going to come along and wipe the floor with this generation? What do you think?
You know what? I don't think even though I think it's a failure in terms of what Nintendo have done in the past, I don't think it's doomed at all. It's been selling pretty much as well as the DS, almost just under what the DS has done, did in its first release. There are literally, you know, 10 million copies or whatever out there, so 4 or 5 million in the first month. I don't think it's, you know, as a bigger disaster as the gaming community as a whole sees it, because there are a lot of people outside, people like us who are in the gaming community, you know, parents who just think this is the new thing, my kids want it, and, you know, it's a DS, it's Nintendo, I know that name, and they buy it. You know, I don't think it's as a catastrophic failure as everyone thinks it is.
It's unthinkable. It's a trap. Sorry. Yeah. I think the game community is full of very cynical people.
We tend to blow up stuff.
Do you think in a year's time we'll get 3DS Lite, and do you think the second analog stick is going to be included into that? Into the actual console?
Almost definitely. I think they'll leave a bit of time between this peripheral to add on, and then the next version will come out with two nubs.
Yeah, and I think the sooner they do that, the sooner the chances of getting developer support more on board with the two analog sticks is going to prop up, because
and it'll have to be at a good price.
Definitely, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It'll have to be cheaper than 3DS. Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys.
I'd like to compare the two products and just the way that the iOS version, although it's for Android as well, but basically they said it's the iPad and they've got the smaller cell phone, iPhone version. It's a stick-on joystick with a suction cup, basically, and contrary to what Mr. Toby Edwards said, it's made out of metal, quote, solid milled aluminium construction. It's made from aluminium, as they put here. And it has a laser-etched crosshair design on top of the stick, which adds thumb traction. Ooh! And it was invented and designed by ThinkGeek, which is a site I love. ThinkGeek.com. You get a lot of gaming sort of clothing, laser pointers, crazy watches, giant Swiss Army knives, electronic things, robots, all kinds of stuff. It's great. ThinkGeek.com. And the difference is that with a certain devices, they have a thriving, independent community of people that make and design products for the thing. And these people love their iPads and their iPhones and their Android tablets and Android phones. And they decided to make a real physical metal joystick for these devices. And they've got two sizes, the big ones for the tablets and the smaller ones for the phones. And they just stick on the screen onto the glass and it works with any touchscreen. It's great. And it's made out of metal. It's cheap, and the whole thing is that an independent company made it. Now, with Nintendo, this crazy second stick that sticks on, they couldn't just stick it on the screen like a sensible, wise choice would be. They made this huge plastic case thing, and it goes around the entire device. I mean, it goes on the right side, the stick, you know, right? But it has to have stuff on the left and on the back and on the sides to clamp it on, and it's terrible. And Nintendo made this. Nintendo designed and made this. The same people that are meant to design the first console, and they did a bad job of it. Then they made a terrible job designing this thing to supposedly correct the flaw. I mean, there's a big difference between if a third party made a piece of crap for the device, you know. That's nothing Nintendo can do about it, you know. It's a bit like if you drop it. Well, you know, you break it, you bought it, it's yours. You did it to it. The fact that Nintendo would make this giant clunky plastic
thing.
Then
you cut off a glue for
Yeah. Sorry. In an antique shop. We love it when people do that, as someone who works in an antique shop, guys. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. Damn, yep. Kazakhstani people. It's a great thing, and that Nintendo, they made their own. It's plastic, a giant awful thing. They did a terrible job of it. Apple, third-party developers made it. Boom. And it's successful.
Hey. All right. The thing is, you're comparing this to the 3DS, which, you know, this section up, I'm not saying it's a good thing at all, but the idea that, I mean, you have to, this, at least the bloody 3DS thing, like, as on, you have to put the thing on your screen, you have to obscure your screen.
Because it's so big.
This function that Apple, the first party company couldn't make itself. You know, this is people, the consumer, i.e. the third party developer, actively acknowledging that what the controls for the iPad aren't sufficient for certain types of games. And, you know, you're going to have to pull these on and off every time you come out onto the menu screen. It doesn't work for any game by any stretch of the imagination. And you have to move it to different games. And and you still can't use the button. You have to go down, like, another inch and a half to press the other buttons that aren't movement or camera. Like... although the 3DS thing isn't great, this is by no stretch of the imagination a great thing either.
I think that it's way different from one product to the next anyway, because...
I just want to say that this is why I love having Toby on the show, because he can express my opinions and the rage and everything, and I think probably Javier's as well, just without us saying it. We don't have to...
I always take the silence as a good thing. I always take the silence that no one can argue with that.
Me and Javier can just eat breakfast and dinner or something while
fighting
our war here.
It's a great idea. It's like this boozed up Englishman, you know, he's got like the giant, you know, wine bottle. He's just like chugging it back. And this is the one that has to do the fighting, you know. Meanwhile, I just woke up Jordan, you know, I'm like blurry and I got like sleep in my eyes, like, oh, where am I, you know? Toby's basically in the same state, so we're an equal match, apparently.
Exactly, yeah.
So, anyway, next topic, I think that's it, really. I think the Nintendo was the big thing. Toby, would you like to move on to your review for this week?
All right. Yeah. So Deus Ex, as we're calling it now, Deus Ex. It's a human revolution. Is it subtitled?
It looks like a great game.
Yeah, it is. It came out a couple of weeks ago, and it's an action RPG. So it's slightly open world, but you go into sort of linear missions every now and then.
Right.
And it's a successor to one of the greatest PC games of all time, the original Deus Ex that was out in 2000. And essentially what it is it's kind of a conspiracy story that you can approach from any angle. You can approach all the missions from different angles, whether you want to walk in guns blazing or, you know, hack turrets and stuff to kill the guards, or just be completely stealth. You can do it whatever way you want. And there are a whole load of strengths to Human Revolution that just came out. Not only in that respect, in the choice, but also it's got this amazing world and story that's built up around it. It's kind of very Blade Runner-esque. It's got a whole sort of yellow tint over the whole thing. It's a very much directed art style, and it works really well for it. They're kind of imagining the future in 2027 as very much influenced by the Baroque and Renaissance Enlightenment period and everything like that. The fashion and the architecture goes along to that. And Jordan Wyatt thinks the main character looks like Raiden, even though he looks nothing like that.
Well, that's something that I wanted to touch on because, I seen the videos, you know, online and on TV for this game, and it looks, you know, it looks amazing to me. It looks like really well rendered and really well done. And actually, I don't think that the main character looks exactly like Raiden, but I think it's kind of like sort of, you know, similar to you know to what they were trying to do with the cyborg ninja and
I think it is game.
But just thinking about it, it seems like, you know, this is sort of the direction that they should go with that game, you know, with Rising. This is sort of like the same kind of thing that they should do. It's you can choose between stealth, you can choose between action, and you can choose what else.
There's all sorts of different ways, and it's interchangeable. But the thing is, it's although from an outside perspective it may look derivative of stuff like Raiden from MGS, but the thing is, the whole fact that he's augmented and stuff and has a prosthesis that is electrical and you know, this futuristic cyborg type stuff is very much part of the story. It's not just an arbitrary thing, which kind of Raiden is, you know, as much as I love him. It's the whole story, and that's the other thing. It's in this future where these cyborg parts of the body have become, you know, very much possible, and the big companies are producing these parts for humans, and you know, there's a view amongst certain groups that, you know, it's the way forward. You know, we can do everything better, we're stronger, we're faster, and of course there are other groups like what they call purists in the game who believe it's playing God. And, you know, it's creating inequalities because people are getting laid off because they're refusing to get these augmentations, and they're getting laid off for refusing those augmentations. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole kind of a social commentary, which is, although not directly related to the day, you know, to the present, I reckon it's something definitely we're going to have to deal with. I mean, you know, they're already developing stuff for, you know, chips to implant in people's bodies and stuff. So it's something quite relevant, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a topic. I don't know. I think I even sent you guys an email before about it. It's a topic that I've been interested in discussing, just like sort of like superficially, because I told you guys I had this great experience with the game Bionic Commando, even though, you know, it's just sort of like more like a cult game where not many people know about it and all that. But for me, it's been a great game. Even the last one they put out, it was a pretty good game. And it just touches on the same kind of like thing, you know, like people getting implants in their bodies and augmenting their abilities and all that. So to me, it seems like a great game, and I think I'm gonna have a blast playing it. I'm just waiting to get
You should I think you'll enjoy it. Like, it does share a number of sort of gameplay tropes of MGS, in that if you play it in a stealth way, there's the same sort of system of, you know, guards on suspicion, then alert and stuff like that. Essentially, and also it has the boss fights, which in this game doesn't work as well as MGS, because in MGS all the bosses are really awesome and have, I mean, at least most of them have like really epic things. And yeah, exactly. But in this game, this is really the only fault of Deus Ex Human Revolution, that it has these arbitrary boss fights that the bosses are not interesting characters, and you're suddenly thrust into this position of not being able to choose how you do anything in the boss fights. You spent the whole game, you know, choosing how to approach things, going through vents or hacking the turrets or whatever, and now you're suddenly just trapped in a room with this psychopath who just has a massive HP bar, and you have to take him down, which is a bit of a shame. So that is its only fault, but other than that,
it's just like a you know, fist fight or something, and it's not.
Well, like, yeah, I mean,
all you can do is shoot at him or whatever.
Exactly, and that creates a massive problem because you're not told about this. So if you can do a pacifist run of the game where all the guys you just tranquilize or just sneak past, and so people who've put all their, you know, their points into just stuff that's relatively pacifist stealth stuff, suddenly they end up in a boss fight and all they've got in their inventory is a tranquilizer gun and you know, and just a small pistol, and they're faced with this guy who you don't have any choice but to kill, which is a bit of a shame. But they are literally like maybe 2% of the entire playtime, so it's not too bad. It's just a shame that they felt like they had to add it in.
I would like to hear about better boss fights, because that's one of the things that makes, you know, this kind of game. It's having good boss fights. Although many games that I played lately, they don't really have, you know, bosses per se. It's just, you know, playing sort of like through the story and then like a big epic battle at the end or something like that. But
yeah, I agree. I think boss fights are kind of archaic. Like, they're a nice thing for past games because that's how they did it. But I think they're kind of reserved for those older games.
They're getting rid of them in certain aspects. So Andrew, yeah, you want to give your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, there are more things, boss fight. I can just imagine something like L.A. Noire having a boss fight in the game where just, you know, this person is really, really good at lying, or like his head is he's wearing a mask or something. I mean, what would you do
We're in L.A. They could have thrown a couple of Mexicans and some Samoans in there.
So I can just imagine that. Cole, what's his name? Detective.
Wolf.
Detective Phelps comes up. Can I ask you a couple of questions? And the guy just wearing a big gorilla mask is like, yes, boss.
Face, yeah.
Can't tell shit. Just a few points. Regarding the MGS angle, people saying Raiden. I think the only thing is Raiden is because he's got the artificial hands. I mean, this whole artificial thing has been done for ages before. I don't see it as Raiden. What I saw, one of the first Deus Ex pictures when I saw, I think it was on Kotaku or something, where we have the main character and it's just a shot of kind of the bottom half of his face, and he's just smoking a cigar. And when I first saw I actually thought to myself that was an MGS image, because it looked so much like Snake, because he had that kind of the manly chin, he had the cigar, and he had kind of like the unshaven look, the stubble there. And I thought to myself, it looked very much like Snake. And so I always saw the Snake similarities in that. In terms of the game, this is something, you know, the more Toby talks about it, the more I really, really want to play it. I've always been undecided, well, whether I get it on, you know, the PS3 or PC and that kind of stuff. That's the main thing, because I know those games are better played on the PC, but I have to install Boot Camp and all that kind of stuff. But earlier this morning, I read that apparently there's going to be a port for the Mac as well. At the end of this year. So I'm thinking to myself, maybe I'll just hold out until the end of the year and then play it on a Mac. Because I'm thinking that, you know, they're going to port it to Mac, and they're taking their time to port it to Mac. They'll probably, you know, the experience will be closer to PC. So I'm thinking maybe I'll just probably wait to that. Toby, what did you want to say?
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, as this is still currently the Patriot Cast, it is, you know, an MGS kind of related podcast. It is, you know, for fans of Metal Gear Solid out there, it is something I reckon every Metal Gear Solid fan would like. while at the same time being, it's not entirely derivative, but it's definitely a different experience. You know, it's set in farther in the future than any of the MGS's was set, and it definitely has its own thing, but it is very much that, you know, approach. It's, you can be not stealthy if you want, but you can certainly be stealthy in the same way you can be in MGS, and it's that whole story of conspiracy and dealing with themes that are, you know, quite, I guess, quite intellectual and quite artsy in a way, but without, it's not pretentious, because if you just want to enjoy it for the action game it is, you can, but it has that thing that MGS has, which I think is absolutely brilliant. And yeah, so I think MGS lovers would love it.
It definitely sounds, I'm really into that stuff, especially they made a like a live action, almost like a short documentary about
that's
like
one of my favorite things of the year.
That was really cool. That really got me interested. So that's definitely a game I'm really looking forward to playing. Jordan, do you have any interest in this?
Sure. I was the one that made a few people angry by suggesting the main character looks very, very similar to Raiden. And I want to be clear that I'm with Toby on this, and I don't at all think it's in no way a rip-off of Metal Gear Solid or anything. In the original game, I remember, again, briefly playing it. I mean, I didn't beat the whole game back in the day. It's just very similar character design, I thought, for this latest revision. And it's the arms, basically. I mean, the arms are near identical to Raiden's. Even his facial...
But there's been people with bionic arms.
Exactly. I'm just talking about the design. I mean, it's like a car that's all like metal and glass, and like the whole thing has a certain design element, and then another movie comes out and the car's basically identical, and there's many different ways of having cars, for example. It's like you could see like the Will Smith movies, and so I know someone here likes Will Smith movies. iRobot, I mean, what company do you think influenced the design of those robots? White, polycarbonate, kind of stainless steel looking metal and glass. They looked pretty crappy, but do they look like a Microsoft design or like a Sony design, or do they look like another company design? Like an iPod, maybe. An iPod robot, you know, iRobot as well. Which, again, iRobot, the book is a lot older than the iPod and iPhone. They're not at all derivative, but the design in itself was. I think it was a very similar looking design, and all it really needs, I mean, he had the same facial hair. It looks kind of angular, kind of like the devil in a way. It looks kind of like Raiden's jaw as well. And I'm just saying, you know, it's a great game. I'd probably give it, you know, a solid 5 out of 10. And that probably means it's worth playing. In most people's books, about a 5 out of 10. Yeah, sounds about right. You know, it's a cool game, and I don't think at all it's a rip-off. It's just the character design is kind of similar. And, you know, it's cool. It deserves to be played. 5 out of 10.
But Jordan, all right, fair enough.
Glad that was a great review.
Just a quick... yeah, I know, right? he hasn't played it, and he's never going to play it, but fuck that. right, okay. Just a quick bit of thing I want to talk about. I was just going through, looking at some new things. Yeah, for those of you who have been listening to this show for a while, you may remember the taboo that I've put on to talking about a certain game called Metal Gear Solid Rising. Well, we don't talk about it. There's an interesting image going around online about Metal Gear Solid Rising, and that apparently an announcement has been made about Metal Gear Solid Rising coming out on the PlayStation Vita. Now, who has some thoughts about this? Javier?
Not only that, you guys know that I probably am the only one of us that still listens to the Kojima Productions report. Last episode I was listening in, they were saying that actually they had on the floor when they were presenting all their stuff, the Kojima production stuff, they had this sort of short video of Raiden basically apologizing to the audience for the delay on Rising, and they actually said that the game was for 2012. It was actually gonna come in 2012. Exactly what month? What day? It's exactly what month? What day? They didn't say, but I mean, it's It's supposed to be ready for 2012 this time.
Javier, sorry to interrupt you, but that's just such a Japanese thing to do. They get this really badass, like, devil-like ninja character. Because people, I can just imagine him just standing there in his full get-up, and just maybe he's got a little bow tie across his neck. Like, oh, Ajumaste, Yoroshiku Gashimasu. Oh, I'm sorry for this inconvenience. It's like having,
It's sort of cool that they, you know, they actually used Raiden, and Raiden was, you know, on a screen talking himself, saying it, you know. It added a touch of, you know, like they really care about it. I mean, I'm guessing my interpretation is different than anybody else, but.
It's a great thing to do, but I can just imagine. I'm just thinking of someone like really badass, like right now in Western pop culture. It's like having Christian Bale's Batman. You know, they shoot a little video if The Dark Knight Rises gets delayed, and in front of every single like movie in the cinema, you get, instead of having like your usual mobile phone advert or something, you get Christian Bale dressed up as Batman. It's like, I'm sorry about this, but the movie's not going to be coming out for a while, so. Yeah, you know, he's in character and he's taking this really formal tone. It's a great thing, but it's just really a big culture change. Toby.
Yeah, I was just going to add to that also come out of Tokyo Game Show, which is happening this week. The MGS collection and the Zone of the Enders collection is actually coming out on the Vita as well. They've just announced in HD and everything, so I thought that was worth saying. I think it's a bit, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
When is the HD collection coming out for the PS3 and
November.
360?
November.
November, all right. Okay. Excellent stuff.
Yeah,
and, it's time to pre-order it, guys.
Yeah, buy the games you love again. But, you know, everyone always does that, so I can't. You know, I love Star Wars and George Lucas, so it's, I'm just getting the Star Wars Blu-ray. It's kind of the same thing, you know. Anyway, go on. Okay, we're done. Are we done with these topics?
I don't know who was going to talk to you there.
Good.
No, well, I think that's it, right? I think those are kind of all the topics for the show,
Those were the topics.
All right. All right. Well, let's segue out of this. Should I take the big news, guys?
Sure. You're the boss.
The bigger. I'll make the bigger announcement. Oh, thank you. I say too many times. So the Patriot Cup has been around for 2 years, actually, now. For just over 2 years' time. It went from me alone with a very, very bad microphone on a HP laptop, Jordan's favorite brand, talking to myself. It sounded like that. But you know, we've come. I see the Patriot Cast as a pulse. You know, it's had its up and downs and up and downs and up and downs. And you know, we've had a great ride. I've, you know, made many new friends. The best of them are in the Skype call right now. And so, you know, originally started off as a Metal Gear podcast, but I felt myself that we've literally talked about everything that could have been talked about in terms of Metal Gear for that year. You know, we've talked about everything, and we thought that, you know, we needed to move on. So we moved on to this gaming podcast with just us four, and you know, that was a lot of fun as well. And but you know, in all honesty, the listenership has been steadily declining over the. Over the last year, I think, actually. And I honestly can't understand why. We've tried many different formats. We've tried, you know, all these different things, but it keeps on declining. And we've got few listeners. And if you are listening right now, you're one of the few people that are listening. So I have decided, and my co-hosts have graciously supported my decision. They were very supportive in this. That's, you know, let's the Patriot Cast, you know, it was once a proud stallion, you know, it was once a great beast, and but now it's an old mule, it's on its last legs, and I think it's time to just, you know, relieve it and let it rest indignity instead of just, you know, making a go of the mountain where there is no return from the steep hill. So we're going to end the Patriot Cast, as we know, but don't pause the or you know, delete the show from your device yet, or throw your device in the bin with rage, screaming. You will hear our voices, I'm pretty sure, soon enough, in a new format. We are still working on this. The show is hopefully going to be a lot bigger. It's going to be a lot more of a, in terms of topics, it's going to be a much more general, because those of you who remember, me and Javier had the movies Patriots, and I love that, but unfortunately, you know, the time schedules that we record, it just ends up being so late, and but I, you know, I'm so passionate about movies, and we know now that we have the addition of Toby and Jordan together, they're very passionate about the tech industry and all that kind of general stuff. So once again, we feel like we need to expand a bit more from games, and because I mean, we still love games, but I personally, I don't consider myself really a hardcore gamer anymore, because I just don't play those games as much as I used to. I still follow the industry, but even then, not as much, excuse me. So we're going to expand into a completely, into a general, it's still going to be just focused, it's going to be a show about, you know, just media, entertainment and pop culture, so movies and tech and news and that kind of stuff, but we're going to expand it, and I really, really want to have a big comedic element to it. We've been developing it, and I don't want to say a lot, but the new show is going to be, it's going to be a lot more, I can't find the right words. It's going to be a lot more entertaining, I think it's going to be, and there's going to be a lot more humor into it, and there's going to be a lot more almost theatricality to it, if that's a real word. You know, but I don't want to say too much.
We have good Jordan, games as well, though.
Pardon?
I was just going to say, we're not moving away from games, we're just expanding.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, we're still going to talk about games and everything, but it's going to be more of a general show. Jordan, did you want to say something?
Oh yeah, I just wanted to explain that a little, because Andrew was taking a little while, and I'm just trying to use as many times as possible. It's a bit like, you know, when someone puts on weight, you know, they start letting out the old belt a bit more and a bit more, and eventually they start running out of holes, and eventually, you know, they're going to have to start putting holes in the belt. Maybe they use like a nail and they use a hammer to put it through the synthetic artificial skin belt, you know. But eventually they're going to have to buy a new belt. You would just have
just
to face
it. Summarize
my
life.
I love your analogies.
So sometimes you need to buy a new belt.
Topping my allergies here. Just sorry, go on.
Yeah, sometimes we just need to buy a new belt and just admit, you know, it's time to give the old one away to some starving Australian orphans or something, you know, after the Great Australian War. You know, those Aussies are ruthless. They even wire up kangaroos with explosives. One of them come hopping into camp, took out 50 men, and all that kind of stuff.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's called Grand Prix. Get some culture, my friend. Oh, look at me. I drink wine. I'm European. I've got culture. He doesn't know a GTA 3 audio reference from the radio station on Chatterbox with Laszlo, you know?
Oh, Laszlo. I know Laszlo. I just don't have that great memory. Go ahead.
So, yeah, I mean, sometimes it's just time to buy a new belt. That's what we're trying to say, yeah.
Is that really just what you wanted to say, Jordan? You just want to make an analogy about it.
And, yeah, and buy an iOS device, too. So, cool.
Okay, fair enough. They'll pay you. Yeah. Jordan, sorry, Javier, Toby, any analogies you have there that you want to top Jordan with?
I think even bigger one? The belt analogy. I don't think I can do any better than Jordan in the analogy department. I just think that, it's been a great run with this show. And obviously, we don't want to end the show. We don't want to end our friendship over Skype that has, you know, been in development for about a year or more. You know, for me, it's been kind of like a year meeting Andrew every day here, or every Saturday actually on Skype, and Jordan, and talking, and all the old guys that used to be on the show, and the new guys that came after, and everyone that was here and then left, and then now Toby, and I feel like we're sort of a small group, like Jordan said, better than a family, because family members you don't choose, your friends you do choose. And I think the group of friends that I have in you guys is a very special one. So obviously we don't want to end
thank
that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I would just like to add that the new show hopefully is gonna be good to everyone's taste and it's good, you know, it's gonna have a lot of fun stuff that you can all, you know, probably choose to listen to if you like, you know, everything that we like, you're probably gonna like that show. So I think it's gonna be a great thing.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. And yes, we've all had a, you know, great time. We've all become very good friends. So yeah, the show right now is in development. We've been developing.
Do we use
Biden?
Pardon? Just write in and apologize and say we're still in development.
We've been working for the last week. We've been working on new album artwork. We've been really passionate about that one. We've been developing. We've been talking about the name. We've been talking about it. Me and Jordan have been talking about the theatricality aspect of it. It's going to be really good. It's if you've listened to the show and you've enjoyed the little bits of random humor that we've had every now and then, like the off-topic things like that, I think you're going to enjoy this new show because it's going to be sprinkled with that, but it's not going to be. It's going to work a lot more. It isn't going to be as spontaneously random and awkward at times as the humor has been on this show. So definitely look forward to that. But what's going to happen is we're going to, because the show isn't ready yet, we're going to don't unsubscribe to this feed yet because there is going to be at least one more show where we kind of go on and talk about the new show and point you in the direction of where to go for it. So do that. And, we're going to try to get this viral. This is going to be like when The Dark Knight came out, you know, when you see little bits here and there. And if you've been following Jordan on Facebook and you've been, you know, watching the activities and if you've been following the cast Facebook, you might have seen the little things here and there. So I think on behalf of everyone, I'm going to end this show, the last proper Patriot Cast show, with just a thank you to everyone, and you're going to see us again, and thank you for listening, and that's that. So yeah.